Welcome back into the Red Zone Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew, UW football beat reporter here for the Wisconsin State Journal. And we have a special episode of the podcast today for you guys. If you didn't see our story over the weekend, longtime UW athletic director Barry Alvarez is going to be announcing his retirement relatively soon, next couple of weeks here. We reported this between myself, Jim Polzine, Todd Molesky, guys that you've heard on this podcast the last few weeks here. So instead of doing a normal show where we talk about, you know, basketball teams kind of transition here with some guys transferring out, Cole Caulfield leaving the hockey team and, you know, spring football going on with the football program, we decided to devote this episode to talking about Barry Alvarez, his legacy here at Wisconsin, some of the things that factored into his decision, and then looking forward to who might be the new athletic director for the Badgers going forward. So Todd and Jim are going to be joining me in a little bit here. But if you haven't checked out the stories about Barry Alvarez, make sure you go on Madison.com, check those out, give you some more background than we get into here. And you can see a timeline of his career and also photos throughout his tenure, both as a coach and as the athletic director here at Wisconsin. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with myself, Jim, and Todd. All right, so let's get right into this stuff. There's so many, you know, angles to the story and so many topics that come out of this. Jim and Todd, I want to start with this, though, because you guys have been around the program a little bit longer than I have. Were you surprised to see Barry Alvarez announce, or not announce, but to learn through your reporting that Barry Alvarez is going to be retiring pretty soon? We'll start with you, Jim.
No, and I don't know how inside baseball to get here, but like I think all three of us have known about this for a couple of weeks that it was coming, just a matter of nailing down when and how and stuff. I've thought all along, and I've really been thinking for 3 or 4 years that he would time this around Jake Ferguson's departure from the program. And, you know, nobody knew exactly when that would be, but I thought that always made sense. You know, he's done a lot for this program. He's been along around time. I think he's ready to retire. I think he's, you know, he's worked his tail off for this university, and this past year in particular has been trying for him. I think he spends more and more time in Naples, and, you know, he's earned that right, certainly, but I think he wants to spend even more time away from the pressures and everything that's involved with his job.
Yeah, and I think something that I've noticed just talking with other people about this story and about Barry Alvarez in general the last couple of weeks is, you know, he's 74. You don't think about that all the time when you're somebody's in a position like this, but that's a, you know, 10 years later than most people are, you know, shooting to retire a lot of the times in our country. So, I mean, Todd, what were some of your reactions when we kind of started learning about this?
Yeah, I think of it in the context of where the department is in terms of, you know, just status, stability, health, major projects that are on the horizon. I mean, you think about it, he just had to hire a new women's basketball coach. That was, you know, probably his last big hire if everything goes the way we think it will be. He's had to hire, I forget the number. I think we had the number of coaches he's hired, but it's quite a few. He's put most of the programs, the major programs, in a pretty decent position. You can, if you want to think of it that way, in terms of where they are in leadership and where they are in their facilities, building the student athlete hub at Camp Randall a few years ago was a big one in my mind, getting that done. And so when those things started wrapping up, you could kind of see that, at least in my mind, that it was getting towards the end. Now, when the pandemic hit, that I think changed the big picture for everyone, not just athletically, but the whole UW-Madison. So timelines probably got shifted because of that. So I think I wasn't surprised, I guess, to answer your question, but I think the timing of it specifically is still a little unclear in to me from people I've talked to, you know, how it shaped up to be where we're thinking it's going to happen here in these next few months.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point, because if you're an athletic director, your job is, you know, it really kind of breaks down to is raising money, building things on your campus like that, and then hiring coaches and trying to put positions or your programs in good positions all around. And when you look at the top programs, you know, men's, women's hockey both get back to the NCAA tournament, women win the championship this year. Basketball's, you know, after a disappointing year this year, but a pretty good place when you look at the recruits they've got coming in, and guard kind of establishing himself. Football, I mean, Paul Chris brings in the best recruiting class they've ever had in the internet era, and, you know, tough year with COVID and everything last season, but in the right direction, continuing to move up. If you're an athletic director and you're just thinking about yourself in that context, you have a chance to move on, and everything is kind of moving in that right direction. It's kind of tough to pass that up when you, all the rest of the things in your life are kind of set up that way.
Yeah. And I think yeah, go ahead, Jim.
I'll give him credit just briefly for not leaving when he could have a year ago, right? It would have been a very, very easy to walk away then and leave the COVID problems to whoever's next. And I think he felt, strongly that he didn't want to do that, that he wanted to help guide this department, you know, through some tough times, and then, you know, find a natural place to leave. But, you know, as we reported, there's a couple of different timelines here. I think he delayed his departure and while also moving it up, you know, probably 6 months, right? I mean, I think he moved it back a year and then moved it up a little bit. But finding the perfect time to leave in any position like this or any, you know, industry is not easy. And there's no perfect spot to do it. But, you know, I give him credit for delaying what could have been something that happened maybe a year ago.
And along those lines, it is important to note, I think, that there's some outside factors in that. I know Tommy Thompson, who is the interim system president, was big in getting Barry Alvarez to stay a little bit longer, in the sense that staying, maybe not as athletic director, maybe he in that, not in that necessarily in that position, but staying on to help lobby is what he's being asked to do in a lot of ways. On behalf of the UW and the UW system, one of the big things they have going on with the legislature in this next budget cycle is the ability to borrow, which they don't have as university. And they've made a big thing that they're the only university of their size or any, you know, of their peer universities that doesn't have that ability. That's really kind of coming up big right now in the pandemic. Tommy Thompson said at one of the regent meetings to Barry Alvarez that we need you to help. And he asked them to do that. And I mean, they're friends for a long time. They've been acquaintances for, you know, two decades, whatever it's been. I think that's something that'll be interesting to watch in these next few months too. And beyond, when he's not athletic director anymore, he's still going to have a pretty outsized presence in terms of, you know, just having some say in what goes on. Not necessarily then in the athletic department, but around it.
Right. And we're definitely going to get more into the kind of after effects of this decision and what, you know, the future might look like for Barry and this athletic department as a whole. But Todd, you brought something up, and Jim, you talked about it a little bit too, but the role COVID played in all of this, because from what we've reported and what we come to know, and Barry Alvarez even said, you know, COVID doesn't happen. Barry Alvarez is probably retired already. You know, like the timeline that he originally had was to be done at the end of the 2020 football season. But then with all the changes that happened with COVID, the season being canceled and brought back, and then where the department and the university as a whole was during that time, he said that he just didn't feel comfortable doing that or leaving at that time. So, I mean, Todd, when you look at just the whole, and you've reported a lot about this, economic effects, interdepartment effects of not being able to hire people because of COVID. Just how do you think the university and Alvarez himself have kind of taken steps forward from COVID and have maybe stabilized a little bit, or do you think they have?
Well, they have in some regards, and they really, it's up to the next few months in terms of maybe the bigger picture, because they'll get through this year. It hasn't been easy. It has affected a lot of their employees, a lot of sacrifice, some of them no longer employed. a lot of financial sacrifice in terms of, I think one of the primary examples was the top 25 earners all took a, 15% pay cut. And then beyond that, there was just, furloughs kind of layered for a lot of the, the employees that you don't necessarily see every day, but are pretty critical to the running of the department. So from that perspective, they've managed, they've been able to get through. Now they've been able to get through with the help of a pretty substantial rainy day fund, I guess, if you want to call it that way, that they have. That's the thing that is going to be interesting to see how they build it up back in the next few years. So this is, COVID issues are not going to end as soon as Camp Randall's full again. It's going to take a few years for them to get back financially where they were in terms of long-term stability. Now, that I don't think there's much fear that they won't be able to get the money back when ticket sales go back open. I think there's going to be a pretty strong desire, maybe not the first year, but down the road for people to come back into Camp Randall. Especially then when they're talking about resuming the plans for that construction project in the South End Zone and changing that into club seats and loge boxes and things like that have been pretty popular from what I hear in terms of their sales. So there's a long-term thing here that has to be addressed and has to be looked at pretty carefully on how they're looking at things financially going down the road.
And it's weird because when you're in a position like Alvarez has been the last few years where you're closer to the end of your tenure than you were the beginning or the middle, and you're trying to balance these short-term goals that you've had. Like you mentioned, the South End Zone project at Camp Randall was obviously one of his last kind of big pushes in the last couple of years. But when you're trying to balance out the things that you want to get done quickly here and then the overall long-term health of the department, Jim, just what do you think about how Alvarez has managed those things in the last few years and, how the university can try to fix it going forward here? Because as Todd just kind of mentioned, it's going to be a few years of getting over what's happened because of COVID.
Yeah. And, let's just listen to Todd talk. I do think there's, he used the word when the place is full again, when Camp Randall's full again. And I'm curious when that's going to be, how long does this linger in terms of, I know we're all going to get vaccinated here soon, if we choose to, but do people come back? Do people come back the way they did before? I think the thing we've known for years is that it's easier and easier to watch games from home, to not deal with the traffic, to not plunk down the money. It's the consumer has it pretty good by watching it on TV with HD and stuff like that. And I'm curious if this is, if this moment makes it even more difficult to do that, to come back in the stands. And so I'm curious about what kind of numbers they get. A, what kind of numbers are allowed in the places, in the venues? And B, just do people answer that call and come back? And I think that's going to play a huge role in what happens going forward, because it's just a tremendous amount of revenue that they lost out on last year and that they're going to, like Todd said, try to make up for in these next coming years. And there's also the other thing that is kind of overlying issue is you got to keep winning. And these programs have done that. The major programs have done that. It's just, they've sustained success and it's been really, impressive and that they've done that, but you got to keep doing it. And it's not easy. As easy as it's looked, I think from the outside world, there's a whole generation that has only seen this program, this department experience success in football and men's basketball. It's bowl games and NCAA tournaments, and they're used to it. And some of them are a little tired that there hasn't been another step. But that success isn't easy to accomplish. And this program's made it look pretty easy at times. But you got to keep doing that, because once you start losing, once you start being a little less relevant, a little more mediocre, then it's even harder to sell tickets. I just think I think there's a fine line that you walk, and it's been a successful run, but I do think people in power realize that it's not that far away from going the other way. And we've seen it happen in other places.
Yeah, that's interesting you bring that up because I'm in that younger generation. I'm 29, and so like I wasn't even alive when Barry Alvarez took over this football program. So it, yeah, Wisconsin, they haven't been able to crack that, you know, upper echelon in football and get to the playoff or things like that, but they've always been a 9, 10, 11 win team, maybe get up to, you know, they had an undefeated season, a couple of years ago. It is just interesting though, because I think you're right, Jim, when it's going to be, I don't think we're going to be at full capacity in the fall, even the most optimistic. I mean, I would love it to be that way, but I don't see people, even if we can, I'm not sure if people are going to be flocking to get around other people like that in close quarters, like a stadium. But if the product on the field, the courts, everything on the ice, whatever it is, doesn't continue to climb, I do wonder the health of the program going forward, because they have these ambitions and these goals, but you've got to continue putting that product out there to make it happen.
And that's not just a here thing. That's an everywhere thing, right? I mean, we focus on this university, but I do think there's a lot of decision makers around the country that are concerned right now because they've already lost a lot of revenue, and there's the potential to lose even more revenue if, you know, if they don't keep winning and bringing people into the stands.
Well, and one of the other big things in that area is that, you know, who knows what college athletics looks like in the next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, because I think we can all agree it's going to look fundamentally different in some way. What that ends up being, we don't really know for sure, but with name, image, and likeness and pay for play and all these issues, you know, TV is changing. So, you know, the TV contracts mean as much or bring in as much as they did. And then, so you're talking about the difference between TV revenue and ticket revenue, the model is going to change. So it's really incumbent upon them having the right people to, I guess, develop the plan to get through that and to see their way into having, you know, a flexible, I think is the way to look at it, flexible arrangement that can adjust to whatever this next decade is going to look like.
Yeah, that's a great point, Todd, because I think there's got to be an element in Alvarez's mind too that, you know, not only is his generation of administrators and people in power positions kind of phasing out and getting into that retirement stage too, but the things that he's kind of held as tentpoles, like he's not a name, image, and likeness big supporter. I mean, he's come out and said some of these things before. I think some of these things that have been bedrocks of his tenure as an AD, they're going to be shifting and changing. And we see the transfer rules, you know, very close to changing as well in the NCAA. It's going to be a lot different, not only recruiting players, but then keeping them once you get them. I wonder if that factored into it too, everything we mentioned before, but then the massive changes coming to college sports said to him, hey, maybe this is the right time to get out and just kind of hand off and let somebody else, you know, manage all these new things.
No, I think you're right. I think it's time for a clean break, or he probably views it that way, that, you know, he's had to deal with a lot of stuff over the years, but there's a lot more on the horizon, and it's probably, you know, it's probably best that whoever is in charge next, you know, takes a stab at those.
Absolutely. And as you kind of we're going to kind of split this up into two parts where we're talking about Alvarez and his tenure, and then we're going to look kind of ahead to what might be coming next for this department. So I want to ask you guys about Alvarez's legacy here at Wisconsin, because you've covered this department longer than I have, but just being around this state and talking to people, the feeling that I've gotten talking to people is the Barry Alvarez kind of changed what Wisconsin's identity was, and that success on the fields obviously is a huge factor, but I think a bigger thing is just changing the expectation. For so long before Alvarez was here, Wisconsin was kind of expected to be in one of those bottom tiers, football, basketball, not – if they had a good year, it was like, oh, cool, and then nobody really cared. I feel like Alvarez in football as a coach and then when he became the AD kind of pushed that mentality department-wide of, hey, the expectation here is to win and to compete for the conference and national titles and some sports like that. I think that if you looked at some type of overarching legacy for Barry Alvarez, that might be it at Wisconsin, is that he kind of changed what the mindset was of this athletic department.
I would agree with that. Let me take the football part of it, Todd, and then maybe you can handle the AD part of it. Cause I do think, you know, there's two different worlds here and both of them very impressive, but you know, back in 1990, when he was hired, or late 1989, it's impossible to put into words how irrelevant this program was. And just, you know, especially compared to now, it's just, it was not on the radar, and it was basically dead. You know, there was 20,000, 15,000 people in the stands at Don Morton's last game. And, you know, they always show that video of Barry Alvarez saying, you better get your season tickets now because there's not going to be any left. And, you know, when he said that, I wasn't here yet. I think I was still in high school or probably grade school when that happened. But that is, it's crazy that he had the confidence to say that. And then that he turned out to be right, because it was such a major, major rebuilding job, probably one of the best all-time rebuilding jobs. Bill Snyder at Kansas State, I think you can make a case for, just in terms of turning something that was nothing into something that was, you know, a Rose Bowl winner 4 years later and, you know, a consistent presence in the Big Ten. And now this is not just a Barry Alvarez. He doesn't deserve all the credit. Pat Richter deserves a lot of the credit. Sure. Donna Shalala as a chancellor deserves a lot of the credit for hiring Pat Richter and seeing that, hey, this athletic department can be the front door to this university. We need to make it good. And she hired Pat Richter. Pat went out and hired Barry and made some other great hires. But then, you know, Barry had a really, really tough job of bringing that football program into relevance. And not only did he do that, but his fingerprints are still all over it, that, you know, here we are 30 years after he took over, it's still a top 25, top 15, however you want to put it, program, and is still sustaining success. So, you know, again, like that's the football part of it. And Todd, if you want to handle the AD part, because, you know, he's done a remarkable job in that area too.
Yeah. And you mentioned something you touched on there in terms of, you know, when back in 90, he's talking about, you know, get your tickets now, that confidence. He's never lacked for confidence, right? I mean, that's one of the things that I think he's brought since he's been here. And really, I see that connecting through the entire athletic department in terms of, you know what you're good at and do it. That's what I feel like his legacy is in some ways here, that I hear coaches, and really it trickles down to players then too, from other sports and not just the bigger sports, every sport, referencing Coach Alvarez and something he's said to them in, or some advice that he's given to them pretty much every season. There's someone saying, you know, this is what Barry has meant to us and what his, you know, his philosophy is, the don't flinch idea. That thing has really carried through the entire athletic department. I think that's one of the things that has built what the athletic department is right now, that at least in his tenure as athletic director, that you have to be who you are. You have to know who you are. You have to accept it. And you have to be confident about it and know that you can get the job done with what you have. And I think that's when I look at around at a lot of the programs that have done well at UW in the last two decades, 15 years, that I think is one of the underlying factors that, you know, maybe Wisconsin programs aren't the most well-known in some sports, but they're known for being hard-nosed, for being, you know, gritty teams, for being teams that do the work, kind of that Midwestern ethos. And to me, a lot of that comes back to Barry, and a lot of that comes back to the people he's hired around him too, that have that same kind of work ethic. Because we credit Barry for a lot of the stuff, but a lot of the credit does go to those administrators that have been here for a couple of decades too, that have worked with them, some of the newer faces too, that carry that down into the individual sports, because Barry is the guy at the top, but he doesn't necessarily work with every individual sport or even connect with a lot of them on a day-to-day basis. And so I think having that team around him that believes in the same things has been really, really critical for that.
Should mention here, this has been a love fest for him, and I don't, you know, I think we need to be you know, open and honest with our listeners too, that it hasn't been a perfect run. Women's basketball, he's made two hires that have not worked out at all. He took a chance when he fired Lisa Stone because he thought this program could elevate to another level. And it's gone way, way down. You know, like I doing the numbers last week, because that's a program that I don't follow all the time because of the other beat I have. But those numbers are astoundingly bad when you win 20% of your Big Ten games over a 10-year period. That's been a not so successful story. The Gary Anderson hire, I think he would be the first to admit that was a bad hire. And he got lucky that Gary left for Oregon State when he did, and he could bring Paul Chryst back and again, have a guy that knows this program and knows what it takes to win here. He got a little bit lucky there. And I don't think, I think everybody knows that a little bit. So it hasn't been a perfect run. No AD is going to be perfect, but across the board, they've been pretty successful and sustaining. I'll say it again, sustaining success is not easy. If you look at other Big Ten programs, there's a lot of this. And this department has been very, very steady. And that's impressive, especially for someone who saw how bad it was, 30 years ago.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Jim, because I wanted to talk about maybe some of the misses that he's had. And I think they're easy to point out because they've been in high profile spots, like you mentioned, the football, like the Gary Anderson. I mean, is it fair to call it a mistake? Obviously, it was two pretty rough years, and then it took a few years for Paul Chryst to kind of change the recruiting back to what's going to succeed at Wisconsin. But I just think that when you look at the totality of what Alvarez has done, it's just those things become so glaring because it's like, man, like what happened? What were you thinking there? And you mentioned women's basketball too. It's just funny because it's like you've done so well other places, and then those are a couple of big swings and misses.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a mistake for both parties. I mean, then Gary Anderson probably should have done his homework on what it would have taken for his system, getting JV or getting JUCOs and getting kids that are borderline academics into school. It just wasn't going to work here, and that homework process on both ends should have been done a little bit better. It doesn't look like a glaring mistake in the long run, because Gary Anderson went 19-7 over 2 years. And there were some really good moments. He brought in Dave Aranda, who was carried over to Paul Chryst's staff. And that 3-4 defense today is still a very important part of this program. But I do think, if Gary Anderson wouldn't have left after 2 years, I think there would have been a downward trajectory in the program. And they could be still feeling it to this day. I think the timing was good there. And that's why I think there's a little bit of luck involved.
I mean, the other thing I think about in terms of if we're talking about things that maybe didn't hit as well as people would like, you do have to ask, have at the big programs, at football, men's basketball, and I'll throw in men's hockey because that's what I cover, have they reached the as much success as they could have? I mean, we talked about that before, that at some levels, especially when you're comparing it to pre-1990, you have to, accept that this is so much better than it was. And, maybe that's a different conversation in men's hockey than others, because, everyone looks back to the Bob Johnson, Jeff Sauer days as, these, great eras when they're in the tournament every year, and it's a lot different in men's hockey than it's different in all the other sports too. But basketball has been close, but didn't get the job done. Football has been close-ish, right, but never got to the playoff. Right. So those are the things I think you can pick at, is like, was the bar set high enough? And I don't know the answer to that. I think you could get fans on both sides, arguing both ways of that. But I do think that is one of the things you do have to keep in mind too, that there may have been a little bit more out there in terms of possibilities for this athletic program than has been reached at the big programs, at big teams.
And the legacy is kind of a moving thing too, right?
No doubt.
Barry's going to leave, and coaches he hired are going to continue to go forward. If all those things that Todd mentioned, if Paul Chryst delivers a college football playoff, or can take this program another step up, then that enhances Barry's legacy. I cover men's basketball right now, and that program is at a critical time, because I still think the jury's out to some degree on Greg Gard. We're five and a half seasons in, and they've had one NCAA tournament win over the last 4 years. Most of the NCAA tournament success was in those first 2 years. They're coming off a really bad season. They're going from old to young, and it's kind of a crossroads. You know, if Greg Gard can't pull through the next couple years and kind of get this program back to where maybe it was when he took over, then that affects Barry's legacy, because that's one of his big hires. And again, I don't know that, you know, we can go back and talk about that hire when it happened. I don't know that he had much of a choice based on what Greg Gard did that first year. But it's, you know, it's not going to stop in whenever he steps down, whether the official date is June, July, whatever. There's going to be more out there that he's measured by.
Yeah. And legacy is always kind of a moving goalpost, right? Cause what do you add to it? Like if 3 years down the line, something good happens with football, like does Barry get credit for that? Yeah. I know it's a tough question, but I wanted to talk about that because when you're talking about somebody that's been in a university and a program like this for, you know, 30 plus years, it's kind of to wrap it all up in one bow, it's tough, but it's something that's going to be interesting to see how it evolves the next few years. I want to shift forward here, guys, where we're looking ahead, because obviously when somebody like this is going to step down from their post, the first natural question is, who's the successor, right? And I think, you know, we've reported that, you know, Chris McIntosh is somebody that's been kind of groomed since he got back into the department to potentially be Barry's successor. And I think when you start seeing some of the other things that have come out, that would be his pick. If Barry was going to be the only person choosing, Chris McIntosh would be his pick. But Todd, I want to start with you, because you have reported a lot about this department as a whole. What are some of the things that you're hearing about how the university wants this decision process to start?
Well, I think you're right that if Barry had his pick, Chris McIntosh would be the guy. And Barry's had his pick before and has gotten what he wants, because he's, as athletic director, when he was picking coaches, you know, he could go with whoever he wanted. And sometimes it hasn't necessarily gone by the book, shall we say, that thinking back to the Brett Bielema hire, he basically elevated Brett Bielema, and there was no official job posting. There was no official search. Some feathers were ruffled because of that. And now, I mean, you can argue that, okay, what's the point of doing a search if you know who you're going to hire anyway, if this is what you want to do and you're the athletic director, you have that call. But looking at this situation now, I think that does come into play a little bit, where this is the chancellor's call. This isn't Barry's call. Chancellor, athletic board, you know, all these other entities are going to have a say in this. And so I think that's where we're starting to look at what does the chancellor want to see? That is Chancellor Blank, you know, comfortable enough with what she's seen in Chris McIntosh to have him in the mix? I mean, to have him as, you know, the leader of the mix, I guess, if you look at it that way. I don't think there's any question he's going to be in there. I just personally, and I don't have any great, I don't have reporting on this, but my thought on this is that it's going to get opened up to a search. And I think that's probably the right way to do it, because you don't want to, if you're in the chancellor's position, you don't want to open up any discussions of favoritism, of, you know, not looking for the best candidate, regardless of whether he or she is at this university right now. And so I think that's the right thing to do, is to open it up. Now, if that ends up with Chris McIntosh as the next athletic director, so be it. I mean, that's, if they find that he's the best candidate, you know, good for him, way to go. But I do think they owe it to this athletic department to find the best person, regardless of, like I said, whether that person is here right now.
Yeah, I agree totally. You know, and Todd basically said the same thing that, you know, when I did that story Saturday for Sunday, kind of outlining what's next for whoever comes next. I talked to someone who didn't want to be named, but was really smart and helped me see some things that I hadn't even thought of. That's what they said, is you have to open this up. And if Chris McIntosh is the best candidate, then, you know, congratulations, you know, it's his job. But you got to see what else is out there. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what that is, but I just think it's for a position this important, you have to see who else is out there, who else wants it, what ideas they might have. Because I think if you can get stuck in kind of the same way, if you just keep promoting from within without considering the outside. And I think, you know, I think they have to consider some diversity in their next candidate. This athletic department, the student athletes, there are a lot of minority student athletes, and, you know, they have to at least consider the fact that the leader of the department, you know, fits kind of what they are and what they want to be. And so I just think there's, you know, I think regardless of who gets hired to fill this position, I do think that department needs to get more diverse. I don't know, Todd, you've agreed with that. I think there's got to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe that it comes back to, you know, just in the last year, you know, what we've seen in terms of the activism of student athletes on campus. And even within the department, before that all kind of got going, there was, you know, this diversity plan that was being launched. And you can't launch that plan and then not hold yourself to it when you've got your most important hire in a generation coming up. I think that would just be foolish. That would be, I couldn't understand how that would happen. So yes, Jim is absolutely right. You've got to look at a diverse group of candidates here, because you do need to match what the community is, what your student body is, what your student athlete body is. You need to factor in all of those things when you're finding someone who's going to lead this department for what you hope is a long time. Now, I don't know if we're in a position anymore where you're going to see an athletic director who is here for 20 years. It seems like those days are getting past us, but you can hope that you find someone who wants to be here and sees this as a career job.
Yeah, and you guys make great points. I'm with you there. I think the most convenient hire isn't always the right one, but it can be. You know, like I think UW's got to look at this as you have to give yourself a chance to find the right person, whether it's inside or outside, whatever ends up being. I want to get you guys' takes on this thought, because we've mentioned that a lot of the major programs here are maybe right on that door of where they want to be at the top level of success, and some of the statuses of other programs. So how do you guys kind of rank the attractiveness of this job, not only considering where the programs are at that you're going to be leading if you're the new athletic director, but then two, like, you're always going to be the person that replaced Barry Alvarez. Like, that's just a part of, you know, replacing somebody that's been kind of a fixture in an institution. So how do you guys kind of gauge how attractive this job is?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, his shadow is just kind of going to hover over this whole thing, right? And again, that was something I hadn't really thought of. But in talking to people, they mentioned that, just like, you know, it's not going to be easy for whoever steps in next. And particularly if they hire from the outside, your deputy athletic director went for the job and is right there. I mean, it's just an awkward situation. And I don't know how you get around that. And there's a lot of people that are loyal, I think, to certainly Barry Alvarez and Chris McIntosh that are still going to be on staff. And that's just something that Chancellor Blank's going to have to navigate her way through. I don't know if that's, I'm not saying that's a reason not to hire from the outside, but it certainly is a consideration that, you know, whoever's coming next is going to walk into a really awkward / interesting situation. And then you throw on the top of that, hey, you've had two really good athletic directors in a row. Over the course of 33 years, the expectations are really, really high. We talked about Barry Alvarez's confidence before. You need someone with that confidence, you know. They got to be able to come in here and say, you know, this is good. I think I can not only sustain it, but make it even better. And here are my ideas for doing so.
Yeah, what Jim said is spot on there. You have to have someone in that Barry Alvarez level of confidence in terms of, this is, I can take over this program. I'm not going to be Barry Alvarez, but I can be someone who's as effective, if not more, in terms of the big picture of what it means to be a athletic director at a Big Ten school. And that's, I think, what makes it attractive, is that, you know, you can throw out, you know, whether it's Wisconsin or Northwestern or Nebraska or whatever, it's a Big Ten school. It's a school that has a voice on the national stage and gets, you know, those kind of, you know, just that input, just being, you know, a step away from basically dictating where things go on a national picture. Again, though, that is changing over these next few years. We don't even know what the NCAA structure is going to look like in 5 years. I mean, just reading about some of the questions posed to the NCAA by the Supreme Court, there's good reason to wonder whether this is, you know, on pace for a major, major change. So that, I do think you have to have someone, again, who has the confidence to say, I understand what's going on. I want to be part of what's changing and how it changes, and I want to help lead that, because we've seen where Barry Alvarez gets called on by the Big Ten an awful lot to be a voice, a leader, a decision maker in a lot of processes. I don't think Wisconsin would want to lose that and having someone timid or more timid in that role. So you're looking for someone pretty specific in that that set of characteristics.
You know what? Sorry, Colton. One thing that I got thinking about it when Todd was talking. Selfishly, I want to see someone in this role who isn't afraid to talk and be transparent. And I think Barry Alvarez, for the most part, you know, obviously when something came up, he would talk about it. He was not afraid to voice his opinion. There weren't many times when I reached out to set up an interview that he turned me down. I mean, Saturday was one of them, but I can't think of more, right? And, you know, like Sean Eichhorst is a former UW administrator. I don't want to, you know, seem like I'm crapping on him, but when he went to Nebraska, I do think that job was too big for him. And he was a kind of a behind the scenes guy. They called him Punxsutawney Sean at times because he just wouldn't come out and show his face. And you can't have that here. These people, these fans, you know, they expect someone who's the face of an organization and who doesn't hide when things aren't going well and when the questions are tough. So I would hope that when Chancellor Blank is interviewing people or considering people, that she would consider that too, that, you know, you need someone out there who's going to be the face of this all and who isn't afraid of that, of being in that moment.
Yeah, and Todd, you brought up something that I think is super important in, from a UW perspective, is that Barry Alvarez, I mean, we know this as sports writers, and I think people that are Big Ten sports fans know this, but if you don't, I mean, Barry Alvarez was super, a big power player, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years. It was Gene Smith at Ohio State, the Ohio State AD, Barry Alvarez, and then whoever the commissioner of the Big Ten is, the Jim Delaney or now Kevin Warren. I mean, those are the three biggest, I would say, influencers. And, you know, when the Big Ten is trying to wrangle the presidents and commissioners of their schools to get football back, it's Barry Alvarez and it's Gene Smith making calls and trying to get people, basically lobbying. You know, if you're talking about the politics of the conference, they're basically, you know, the majority and minority whip, getting people to vote the right way or vote the way that they want, trying to convince people. Wisconsin's going to lose that voice. I mean, unless they were able to bring in somebody that's already established in the conference and is making those connections, they're going to lose that big kind of position that they have. And I'm very interested to see if that's a factor in who they bring in or how they adjust to, you know, not having that standing anymore, that who the athletic director at Wisconsin is such an important voice at the conference level.
I saw this on the rundown and I didn't quite know how to feel about it, because I do feel like the next person is going to be so busy with UW centric things, all the things we've talked about earlier, that I would prefer that person focus on the UW side of things and, you know, and not be such a face outside. I think Barry Alvarez was comfortable doing that and could handle it. He was always a guy that could, you know, balance a lot of things. So I don't know if the next person needs to do that. And I guess I'd love to hear from Todd if it does matter. I mean, how did it benefit UW necessarily to have Barry Alvarez out there as kind of the front man? I mean, where did it help the university? And I don't know. I mean, you can answer that better than I could.
Well, a couple of things on your first point there about how Barry was kind of in those discussions. He was able to to do that on the bigger stage, because in a lot of ways he had Chris McIntosh here doing the day-to-day things. And he had the core of senior associate athletic directors to manage the day-to-day. And I think that's important to remember, that Barry is in charge of the department, but we saw Chris McIntosh in a lot more public facing engagements over the last couple of years in the way that he dealt with, you know, just kind of addressing concerns of fans. He was the one answering a lot of those things. So I think that was an important thing in terms of why Barry was able to spend time handling Big Ten, NCAA kind of things. But Jim, I think you are right that doesn't, when you're dealing with the transition in the magnitude that I think this is going to be, and I think we have to, you know, accept that this is the biggest transition that this athletic department is going to face in this decade, given everything that's coming up nationally in terms of college athletics. You do need this new person to be primarily talking about Wisconsin athletics and not necessarily how conference matters go. But those things are intertwined. That's the issue here, is that so much of what UW does in terms of budgeting and you know, just the finances, the TV money, so much of that is tied in with the Big Ten, that you don't want to lose completely that voice and how that money is either brought in or divided up or used or those kind of things from a conference level. You still want to be a big player in that conversation. So that's why I think that's an important part of, you know, from a conference level, why you know, who you bring in and what kind of element they have in those kind of conference discussions.
And just one last thing before we wrap up, guys, what do you think about, like, how long do you think this is going to take once it is official from Barry Alvarez that he's going to be stepping away and we figure out, you know, what his end date in mind is? I mean, because of everything that's coming, we've talked about all the massive changes that are going to be coming to college sports. I mean, how long do you think that UW can really wait to get somebody in place? Or do you think this is a situation that Alvarez waits until they have the next person to then step away?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because he's got somebody he wants, and if it gets opened up and that person doesn't get picked, it's like I said before, awkward. And I would think he'd maybe be a little less willing to help, but I think Todd and I think you agree with it too, Colton. I think this has to be opened up. I think you have to see what else is out there. I think it'd be foolish not to.
And I mean, when you're talking about processes, yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely right. It has to be opened up. I think it will be. I just don't know. I don't know how quickly you have to move. I think you have to do it right in terms of, instead of doing it quickly. There could be some moves happening behind the scenes already. I would be surprised if there weren't discussions, or, you know, if not outright interviews and things like that. I would imagine that Chancellor Blank has a list in her head, if not starting to work on it already. So I would think this has to happen. If the chancellor has in mind that this transition will take place over the summer, it has to start happening soon. The background work on this to make it happen. Because if you do this rushed, you're going to get something wrong. And I think that's something you'll pay for in terms of, you know, years and years, you will pay for something that's rushed.
Barry Alvarez was always a short list guy, right? He always said he had a short list for every opening. You know, Chancellor Blank, you would hope, would have followed the same process, and that she would have had, like we started this show with, is this a surprise? No, it's not. We've known it's coming. Not exactly when, but we've known it's coming. Chancellor Blank's known it's coming too. I would think that over a year, 6 months, she's, you know, kicked the tires on candidates and at least listened to some smart people to see what names are out there.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Jim and Todd, thank you guys so much for joining me today. If you guys haven't read up on the story, go to Madison.com, read our report about the timeline that Barry Alvarez was mulling about his retirement, and Jim's story about what's the challenges of, that await the next candidate and the next athletic director here at Wisconsin. But make sure you're following both these guys, Todd Molesky on Twitter, at Todd Molesky, Jim Polzine, WSJ on Twitter for Jim, and then CBART WSJ for me. Any final thoughts before we sign off here, guys?
Not really. I'm fascinated to see where this goes. I really am. It's like Todd's done a really eloquent job of saying this is an important time for this department, and finding the right person to lead is such a critical piece of this all.
I think it's, I said it before, this is going to dictate the next 15 or 20 years of athletics here at the school. And it's, when you put it in that perspective, you can tell how much it means and how big of a decision it is.
Yeah, no exaggeration there. All right, we'll wrap it up there. There's going to be a ton more to this story. I'm sure we'll have to do this again once we have a new athletic director or kind of figure out. But thank you guys so much for joining me. For everybody listening, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.